Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
If you watched the Giant game last night and you are listening to the fan base, and we've been around, I've been around doing this for 18 years now, and you could feel it coming. I mean, the Jackson dart is coming. The question is whether is it this week or is it next week? He is going to play in some way, shape, or form. I believe he'll end up playing some way, shape, or form this week.
He's gotten into a game already.
I'm not going to say he's going to start, but there could be enormous pressure to play him this week, because most Giant fans are like, why are we watching what we're watching right now?
My answer would be because, all right, you're right, and he's going to play. It just can't be this week. It can't.
But you know how the Giant fan is. Like, I'd rather spend my money going somewhere else than watching I'm watching.
Exactly.
He's a pudgy Utah clapper.
Yes. But we are too, because we have to, are watching the same thing that we have watched over and over and over and over again. And there may be a breakthrough. And maybe that breakthrough is this kid.
Well, it has to be. For this regime and the fan base. But I also think that the Giant fan is smart enough to realize that throwing someone into a situation that's not ideal for him in his first NFL start could give him two steps back as opposed to one forward, especially if he's not special like some of these guys are that step onto the field right away. That's why I'd put him in a dome on the road against the worst team in football. That's what I would do. And that's the New Orleans Saints. And this is the next week. And now he's going to get the Eagles 2 out of the next 3 weeks and Denver in there. It doesn't get easy. But if he's going to be a good quarterback, he's going to have these tough games. I just don't want his first start to be this week. I mean, then the fans can see him at home against the Eagles on October 9th.
I think what they want to see, and you know, and this Eagles team reminds me exactly of the Kansas City team. They're going to come right in here and they're going to smother you. And when they smother you on defense, their offense doesn't have to do anything spectacular.
Oh, that's a Thursday night. That Eagles game. God, there's no right answer.
That's why you might as well just throw them in there now.
See, that kind of changes my opinion now. Because then, so the first start, you're going to have him play two games in 4 days?
Okay.
There's no right answer.
I mean, if he can get through, like, calling the plays and getting through the checks and making sure that he can see blitzes without getting, like, de-cleated, then I would say you got to play him. If, in fact, that he has proven to the coaching staff that he can do that. Just because, you know, we all want to see him, and we all want to see something different and see some new energy, which is what he brings to the team. he still has to know what he's doing out there in order to protect himself first and foremost. And that's the one thing I always worry about, is like whether or not a guy can protect himself on the field by reading defenses and...
Well, he's also a guy that doesn't make the smartest decisions when he runs with the ball. That's been his MO.
Well, that's the other thing. He's, you know, he's got a little bit of that, you know, Baker Mayfield in him, like where he's a little bit of a wildcat that way.
Yeah.
Which is okay, which is exactly maybe what this team needs, by the way.
Yeah. I just don't want him to get killed out there in his first start. That's really what it comes down to. But now that I see that that's a Thursday night game against the Eagles and you're talking about road game, then 4 days later you're at home against a defending Super Bowl champs. I don't know. Yeah, I want to see him. I want to see him this week because it'll be exciting. Personally, selfishly, because it gives us something different.
And then gives the fan base something different. And that's why, you know, ownership may force it.
All right. Let's go to Steve in Newport, Rhode Island. What's going on, Steve?
What's going on, guys? We had a caller earlier who said that they think Dable might not make it to next season. And I got to be honest, I completely agree. I don't think what Daniel Jones is doing right now could be a clearer sign that it's not the quarterback, it's the system that he's in that's failing. I mean, we got change. We went from Daniel Jones to Russell Wilson. That's change. That's a change in energy. It's a change in style of play. But we're getting the same exact product on the field. I don't think switching Jackson Dart is going to be a good thing for this team. I think he's going to get crushed. I think, you know, no matter how much energy and speed this kid could bring to this offense, I think it's a broken system, and that needs to be changed before this team starts to show any signs of success. Thanks for taking the call. Have a great day, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that, but I still don't think that you're going to see a firing early on in the season. This is not Woody Johnson losing it on Rob Saleh and firing him a couple games into the year. I don't see the Giants doing that. I mean, maybe it's gotten so bad that they'd consider it, but it's not in their playbook to do something like that. I mean, maybe with like a couple games to go or a game to go or something, but like five games into the season. Did anybody expect the Giants to actually make the playoffs this year? I don't think so.
No, all anybody talked about was how hard their schedule was.
Yeah.
And when the season started, they either had the first or the second toughest schedule in the NFL coming into the season. And you would have thought that maybe the Cowboy game was the game for them to win because of what the Cowboys' defense looks like. But their own defense couldn't stop the Cowboys. And that's why that end of game regulation part of the defense, people were coming down on Shane Bowen. So last week it was Shane Bowen. This week it's Brian Daboll. You know, who's it going to be next week?
Mike Kafka. There you go.
Well, he's also a part of it. And I think that last caller talked about the offense and talked about the scheme and talked about how quarterbacks are struggling. But then again, 2 weeks ago, Russell Wilson had one of his best games as a pro.
Eddie in the Bronx is going on, Eddie.
What's going on, man? This is rough. I'm a Giants fan. I freaking got a Giants tattoo. Some of my friends told me to amputate my arm, but it's crazy. First off, it's like I actually like Dable, but isn't this like the second time with Gano in the same injury? It's like this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how do you not do that? And then how do you not have a contingency plan for Andrew Thomas? That's kind of nuts. That killed me. But the only thing I feel like, if you were going to fire Dable, you should have did it last year. Because now, as Mike Francesa would say, he gets a second bite at the apple. Because if Jackson Dart is anything, you can't let Dable go. And that's the problem. And it's like, I like Dable. And the thing is now you have to put Jackson Dart in. And like you said, if there's a sweet spot, yeah, it's the Saints. But the reality is like, how do you continue to trot Russell Wilson out there? The thing is he's lost a step. And if you look at Russell Wilson, his career was basically built on basically making a little bootleg outside to be the offensive line because he really couldn't see behind his offensive line. Now his offensive line is getting pushed right into him. So that's another thing. So the thing is maybe Jackson Dart, is he the savior? I don't know. But the thing is you have to see what you have. And if he's nothing, now you can bring in a whole new regime. But if he is, it's almost like a catch-22 because now it's like if he is something, there's no way you can get rid of Dable because now you don't want to change the voice in this guy's ear.
Right, but maybe that combination is the one that ends up working. And if Jackson Dart is special, then, yeah, you don't want to mess with that. But that's a good problem to have, Eddie. If you're keeping Brian Dable because Jackson Dart looks like a superstar, you'd sign for that right now. But I would also be careful, especially with everything Boomer said about rookie quarterbacks and the speed and everything else. I mean, Russell Wilson, to me, is not washed up at this point. He's certainly not the player who was winning Super Bowls, but he's not washed up. He had his best statistical game ever in the previous week. He still has zip on the football and has seen everything when it comes to NFL defenses you could possibly see.
Yeah, but the problem is he threw two interceptions yesterday that were just killers.
But my point is that to think that Jackson Dart's going to step in and be that much better than a veteran that's seen everything in this system with this bad offensive line and his horrible play calling down in the red zone, it's just that's a lot to ask.
The only way that you can change the fortunes of the team, and I've lived through this myself personally, is you got to change the quarterback. It's the only way. You can't change the wide receivers. You can't change the guards. You can't change the centers. It may be better, but you know what? That doesn't excite the team. It doesn't ignite the team. The quarterback is what ignites the team. And, you know, if he takes off and he runs for like 30 yards and takes on a DB at the end of the run, he's going to get up. He's going to spike the ball. The team's going to go crazy. The fans are going to go crazy. And then he's got to be able to do that for four quarters, which I'm sure he's not used to. But that's part of playing a young player, that sometimes that they bring this youthful energy to a team and the team responds in kind, as opposed to the older veteran quarterback who kind of is like, kind of stoic. He's won a Super Bowl. He's, you know, been to 10 Pro Bowls. He's been around. He had, you know, a great game last week. And everybody is, you know, everybody's looking at that position for the energy that the team needs. And quite frankly, you know, last night was a dud, man. That was a dud. And those two interceptions that he threw are just like, you can't, he's not supposed to be doing that. That's why he's here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to argue with any of that.
And by the way, both of those interceptions had nothing to do with pressure. That was just decision-making. And that was great defense, and he just threw the ball up indiscriminately twice, and it ended up in the defensive back's hands.
All right, you changed my mind. Screw it. Start him. Start him this week. I don't even care.
The only thing that I worry about, again, starting a young quarterback is whether or not he can read a defense and see, like, when it's really nut-cutting time and the game is on the line and the other team's got 10 guys up at the line of scrimmage, is he going to be freaking out looking at the pass rush? Or does he know calmly where to go with the football if he needs to get rid of it quickly? That's the thing that I don't know if he knows that yet. And only they know that.
Well, also, I mean, that's something you can learn as you play.
True.
You know, if it happens to you one way and you say, oh, my God, I can't allow that to happen again. You watch it on film. So, yeah. I mean, 0-3 with Russell Wilson playing quarterback on the road to another three-win season, I guess. Why not?
Well, this was the point, like we were saying, going into the season, that they would have to get off to a good start or they're not going to have a choice but to play the young kid.
And here we are.
And everybody's like, week 6, week 7, yeah, it sounds great on paper, assuming that you're 3-3. Mm. Not that you're 0-3 and your offense is getting its ass kicked.
Let's go to Frank in Livingston. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time, long time. Appreciate you taking the call. I had two quick questions for you. What are your thoughts on Andrew Thomas being on a pitch count? And then my second thing is just why not make the change at Kafka and get rid of the OC? I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, Frank, I mentioned it earlier that the Giants are the only team to do this. Christian Darrisaw came back from a major injury. The Vikings left tackle. They have him out on pitch count as well. I mean, I think that they want him to play. They want to make sure that he's 100% healthy. He hasn't played in an NFL game in months and months and months I mean, it was 11 months for Darrisaw. So it's a little bit Andrew Thomas is better than no Andrew Thomas. And if he could go the full game, he'll go the full game this week. So,
and like I said this morning earlier, it's not just the coaches. It's the doctors. Mm-hmm. It's the trainers. And it's the GM. And they all sit down and they consult. And they talk about what is in the best interest of the player first and foremost, then the team.
As far as firing Kafka, I don't. It's hard to even tell the dynamic there. Sometimes it's Kafka calling the play. Sometimes it's Dable. I mean, it's that Boomer just said it. There's none of that other stuff is going to ignite the team. It's not. I mean, firing Mike Kafka and elevating the passing game coordinator or the wide receivers.
Look what happened to the Jets last year when they fired the coaches in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it got even worse. I mean, I don't know if it would have gotten better, but it just, you got guys that weren't supposed to be doing things, doing things. I mean, Jeff Ulbrich should have never had been in that spot.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Giants sure to get their first win, not so fast. We talked about the offense last week not being sustainable. You saw that last night in what was an all too familiar effort from the New York Giants.
Honestly, this is just ridiculous what we have to sit through and watch this nonsense. It really is embarrassing, and it's even worse when it's national, when there's a national televised game and there's 30,000 Chiefs fans and they take over the joint, and this is not me calling out Giant fans. I don't blame you. There's really not a whole lot to cheer about. It is just a listless, pathetic, sad erosion of a once proud franchise. And, you know, and listen, we all know that it's going to eventually turn into Dart. You and I, we're going to have the conversation. But, like, this notion that Jackson Dart is the golden ticket for a head coach who hasn't shown really anything for years is to me, it's almost laughable. Like, what do the Giants do well? Can somebody tell me what they do well? I mean, this is now multiple times where the kicker's jacked up. Even the most basic thing, Sal.
Yeah.
Like, you watch this team and you're like, my God, it's a combination of boring and embarrassing, and it's just awful, and the Giant fan deserves so much better. It is a joke what the Giants are.
Did Malik Nabers play last night?
It's ridiculous. They couldn't even target him.
Okay, but so this is the point that we go back to. We're not going to keep having the same conversations every week. Like, I can't do it, you can't do it. We'll talk about something else and make it more
entertaining. I'm already at my wit's end with this.
I think everybody is. I get it. Nobody wants to watch that nonsense. Like, outside of Scadaboo, who was at least fun to watch.
But even
with that, like, come on, man. You got to be able to score more points or build off of what they did in week two. We knew it was not sustainable, certainly not to that level. But could they build a little bit off of it? They couldn't. Russell Wilson was bad. The offense overall is bad. The defense is not as good as it's supposed to be. Abdul Carter can't make big plays the way like, why they're trying to play him inside to me makes no sense. And then when he does get free, he's not being able to make the plays. So, I mean, 3 weeks.
It's done nothing.
3 weeks in.
It's quiet.
Like, something's got to give here. I mean, something's got to give for the New York Football Giants. What the hell is going on here? And that does lead us to the Jackson Dart conversation. Like, we all, and this is a conversation that we had in the offseason, and it does predate Dable with the Giants' follies and drafting this guy and that guy when they should. And then you look elsewhere with Barkley and Daniel Jones, and we'll get to him later on. But, like, all these things add up to what has been an unmitigated disaster for the Giants for years, which leads to the final salvo of this regime. And it's something we discussed last year when they decided to keep Shane and Dable. Well, what happens if they draft a young quarterback and you have this regime who doesn't get off to a good start? Shocking. Here we are 3 weeks in. The Giants are 0-3. What a shock. What a shock. And now it's going to be, and it has been for the most part, all about Jackson Dart, who had an exciting preseason. But not only is it about Dart, BT, it's about will Dart come in whenever he does and then do enough with Brian Dable and Joe Shane to justify keeping this together? Otherwise, you have a different problem next year.
Yep.
With a rookie quarterback or young quarterback that this regime drafted,
yeah,
that's going to be taken over by, at the very least, a new head coach.
Yeah. Well, think about this. Organizations that are in a bad spot, they complicate everything. Like, they really do. I mean, when there's a chance for a clean break and a new identity and a new philosophy, you have to take it. And you know, listen, the Giants decided to bring him back, bring back Brian Dable, bring back Joe Shane, when the evidence was overwhelmingly in the other direction. And, like, I really hate that we have to have this conversation. You're right, and we can't do this every single week. I mean, who the hell wants to sit here and have 17 weeks of fire Dable, get rid of Shane, play Jackson Dart? But, I mean, I really don't know what else there is to grasp that. Like, I wish they were. Yeah, I mean, we could take it through the sequence at the goal line when Russell Wilson's throwing the ball in the tunnel, then throwing the ball off the goal post, and then doing some ridiculous benign 4-yard run. What a horrible play call that was. We can talk about that. We can talk about how Patrick Mahomes rips the football away from Okereke with a chance for the Giants, yeah, to steal something. Of course we could talk about that. But does it really, really matter at the end of the day? I don't think that it does. Because the Giants, as Sal just said, and we have had the conversation a million times, we warned you when you decided to bring back Dable, you've got a situation now that is 9 levels extra complicated. If he's fired, does the new guy want Dart? If he's fired, does Shane stay? It is just an unmitigated mess.
But now, before we get there, which is maybe the inevitable conclusion to this season, we need to see what Jackson Dart is. So, and then like the conversation about, well, when should they start him? I was always of the belief of, it's not about the play of Russell Wilson. I'm still about that. Even though they were talking about it on the broadcast last night, like, just because Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards in week 2 doesn't mean, well, now you keep Jackson Dart at bay. And now, because Russell Wilson looked awful last night, it's, oh, well, let's go with Jackson Dart. What is the primary goal for the New York Football Giants this year? They foolishly thought they had a team that could win some games. Wrong, wrong. You're DOA at 0-3. It's over. Not to mention the schedule, but, like, it's over. So they thought that they could try to do both. Win some football games with a veteran quarterback while developing your younger player. Is their goal to try to win some games and become relevant and give the fans some excitement now before this thing gets out of control? If it is, then you got to turn the keys over to Jackson Dart. If it's just about developing Jackson Dart, then I have two questions for you. Well, number one, do you trust Dable and Shane to know when he's ready or when he's not? And number two, what is the best way to develop him? I don't have the answers for that. I would always say sit longer than not.
Yeah.
I'm not forcing him in just to try to win a ball game. But when you watch him play, like even last night when they used him, I thought it was good to use him. And the Giants were moving. They took him off the field, and that was it.
I know.
It stopped.
I know.
Like, I would have just kept at least ride him out for the rest of that drive.
Even that doesn't seem like they have a real plan. It's like they're just kind of reacting. And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful because I know that they do have a plan. It's just not a good one. But it's not like they just go into the game and say, eh, maybe we'll play Dart. Eh, maybe we won't play Dart.
No, they know.
They've got it mapped out. Again, that's why I'm not trying to be unfair to the staff here. But yeah, it just seems a little disjointed, like when they put him in, even when they wedged him in the first time.
Hey, that made no sense.
And we're sitting there saying that's just a very, you know, Russell Wilson's bold and moving the football, and the Giants have a good right flow on offense, and they put Jackson Dart in at the worst time.
Let me ask you it this way. Just you and I having a conversation here. Who do you think gives the Giants the best chance to move the football consistently?
I think it's going to be Dart because of his legs.
Me too. Now, that doesn't mean that I go to him right now, mm-hmm, but I think it's clear that, you know, last night I was rooting for the Chiefs because I picked the Chiefs to win or whatever. from my perspective, just to give you a different perspective for a second, anti-Giants in this particular game, when Dart was in and they were moving the football, as somebody who was rooting for the Chiefs in that spot, I wanted to see Dart off the field, which means that he was the right guy to keep on the field because the way the Giants are moving the ball and being the dual threat that he is. Like, at some point, he's going to start throwing the ball, and then we'll really see. Now, we don't know what Jackson Dart is. He could turn out to be a bust. He could turn out to be a Hall of Famer. You have no idea. My feeling, though, is that he's going to give them a better chance to move the football consistently. There are many more areas of the game that, you know, special teams have been a disaster for the Giants. Can't even get a healthy kicker here.
It's really amazing.
I mean, defense. Yeah, if Dart does go out there and score, like, he can't score more points than Russell Wilson did a week ago, and they still lost the game. That doesn't mean that they're going to win more games. I'm just saying that I would feel better about the offense being potentially more consistent with the dual threat read option offense of Jackson Dart.
So would I. But, you know, I think the fear here, Sal, right. this to me, this is the most dangerous part of the situation, is anything that's going to be done with Dart and the insertion of Dart, which is inevitable. We're just having the discussion when. It can't be to placate fans. It can't be to change the tone in the stadium, to turn the anger into cheers. You can't do that. Now, that I'm not saying that it won't change the tone if he comes in and plays well, but the motivation can't be to just shut the Giant fan up and save your own ass, because that could destroy the kid.
Well, that's kind of the point. So, okay, while we could acknowledge that maybe their offense might be more consistent, certainly more exciting, just the new toy, unleash him, let's see what he's got. We need to evaluate him and Dable, and that's it for Dable once and for all. However, is that the best way to develop him? Boldy said it with us a couple of weeks ago. Hey, why are we waiting? Let's go see what he can do. You look around the league, not just this year, I'm talking about historically, like, rookie quarterbacks can play and have some success. So there is no right or wrong definitive black or white answer. Each individual, each system, each circumstance is different. For me, I would wait as long as I could. The season is lost. We know that. So it's not then just about trying to move the football consistently and give the fans a little bit of excitement. That will happen sooner than later. I want to make sure that when I do bring Jackson Dart in, he's 1,000% ready to take over. Now, do you ever really know until it's your team?
No, but you have a sense of how he absorbs things in the building. You have a sense of how his teammates react to him. You can give yourself a good chance to, before you roll him out there, to know if he's kind of ready. And then, listen, obviously the speed is different and the complexity of the game is very different. So you can't 100% determine if he's fully ready. But from a maturity perspective, you have a pretty good sense of, and I do think he's kind of ready, but I still wouldn't throw him out there. I'll tell you what, here's a curveball. I'd probably throw Jameis out there for a game or two.
Yeah.
I really would. I mean, that's Sal, that sequence.
But then that's about Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, that sequence. That may have been the worst quarterbacking sequence in the history of football.
I know, but dude, Jameis.
That was disgraceful.
Jameis is a pick machine. I know that, but he threw for 450 yards last week. Like, I'm just saying that there are ups and downs that we got to live with. He was awful last night. Like, not even throwing the ball and not even giving your team a chance.
No.
Like, what are you doing throwing the camera well or whatever it may be doing?
Yeah, I know. Into the tunnel. Then he hits the crossbar. Right. I mean, it was just embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, I get it. And look, I want to get back to what I felt was my core belief of when to turn the thing over, whether it's going to be against the Niners in week 9, whether it would be around the bye week. I don't think that they could last that long now with the way that things have gone here. But even I certainly wouldn't start Dart this week going against the Chargers.
No, what about the Saints?
And I probably wouldn't do it then. Now, assuming that, let's say they lose to the Chargers, I mean.
What an assumption.
Well, I mean, who knows?
Lay the points. I don't even know what they are. Lay them.
Anything could happen, but you have to based on common sense. By the way, both the Jets and Giants could have had Harbaugh. And I remember saying
Well,
it for years.
Well, we talked about that.
Predating us, 100%. Like, that's the difference that a coach Winner. Makes. So when you sit here and wonder why neither team has a win and why they've been flailing all over themselves trying to figure out a head coach, because you didn't want to hire the right guy who could have been had. Harbaugh wanted the job. You didn't want to hire him. And look what he's done already in 2 years with the job. Like, it's just mind-numbingly stupid to go keep hiring young guys, the unknown commodities here in New York, and it just continues to fail. Anyway, I'm not even so sure that I would do it before the Eagles get, like, if you do it with the Saints, now you're turning it over to him ahead of 2 of 3 matchups with the Eagles, and the one in between is at Denver, which is not going to be. I would probably wait to week 9, regardless of what happens with Russell Wilson or the results, to go to Jackson.
Look at where we're at.
That's bad, dude.
Look at where we are.
Yeah. It's
And
we'll get to the Jets.
Football is just miserable.
We'll get to if you watch the locals, yeah. BT and Sal on the Fan or friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Patrick is in Melville starting us off. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing? So,
what's up?
You know, I think all Giant fans, including myself, basically got duped by the preseason. We actually thought that this team was a base fundamentally good team. Now, before the season, we all looked at the schedule and were like, yeah, they're going to be 1-7, 1-8 in the first nine games, and that's exactly how it's going to turn out. Now, I just think we just thought dark because the reason why, it's not even because of Russell Wilson, it's just a question of we know the inevitable. We might as well let the kid take his lumps and actually see what he has and just give him as much
runway
as possible.
No, Patrick, hold on. Pat. That's the wrong mentality. Now, if you want to play him, I respect that. And I know you're not alone. But when you say, like, that's cavalier, let him take his lumps and figure it out. When you take your lumps and they're too big of lumps and it's the wrong situation, the damage could be irreparable.
You
have to factor this in, guys.
Yeah, you risk ruining him. Now, again, we don't know. None of us. Well, I'm talking about me, you, callers, listeners. We don't know. I don't even know if the Giants themselves know. And that's even the scariest thing. Like, we're at a spot now. We got to trust Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. This is not year two where it's like, okay, well, we'll trust them to fire the bullet when they know it's right time to go with Jackson Dart. Dude, they're fighting for survival here. At the very least, Brian Daboll is. You know, remember, because last year we heard that there was thought about keeping Shane and getting rid of Daboll, which is the only reason why I'm not tying them together, which, by the way, I also think is another mistake on top of it, letting Joe Shane pick a head coach. It's a mess every which way possible. However, you can't just say, well, I'll throw him in the wolves, see what he's got. We've seen many quarterbacks before fail that way. That's why I'm not doing that, regardless of how ugly it gets with Russell Wilson, with Jameis, with the fans yelling for Dart. I'm not doing it if I'm the Giants until I know that he's coming out there and putting him in the best position to succeed.
I'm with you. You know, now when that date is, when that week is, it's obviously fluid and you know, we've given you several examples of when we think it would be a good fit to do it. But, you know, this just can't be a Hail Mary to shut everybody up. That's right. What really worries me. And again, it can't just be, I'm bored, I can't watch this anymore. And by the way, I get it. We get it. We understand that it is just miserable watching this. The both of these teams, they are just garbage. It's unacceptably bad. And it's been bad for so long. We feel you. We know it. But you can't just throw them out there just to pass the time to make it more exciting. Because if you do that, the future could be bleak as well if you destroy the kid.
John is calling from Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
God, John.
I mean, it's like Groundhog Day. Another putrid offensive performance. The defense is all right. It wasn't terrible, holding the 22 points. But it's just like deja vu all over again. There is no trust in this regime. And to your point, I don't trust them to put Dart out there. They're going to ruin the kid. There's been no creativity on the offense. I don't care what quarterback you put out there. And then you look at the whole Daniel Jones situation. I hate to bring this up, but now he's got a similar situation of what he was with the Giants, where he had a great running back. You know, the offensive line wasn't great, but look what he's doing compared to what he didn't do in New York.
Yeah.
It's the coach's fault.
But
I don't trust them to put Dart out there, plain and simple. I know it has to happen. We have to see what this kid is made of at some point, but this regime has got to go. It's over at this point.
Think about what you're saying, John. I think you're onto something. Thank you for the call. It's not about the quarterback. Like, right now, we're making it about Jackson Dart because we're excited about it. That's how it was years ago with Daniel Jones. And we've seen Daniel Jones have some success, but obviously not nearly enough. Mm. And now look at what he's doing in three games with the Indianapolis Colts. So it's clearly not just about the quarterback. It's clearly not about Saquon Barkley and not building around a running back. Like, there are issues here that the Giants have inherently that are problematic. They scored, like, Jackson Dart, if he were running the offense, would not have scored as many points as Russell Wilson did a week ago in Dallas. He can't do those things. Now, he would have done it differently, more sustainable, sure. But they still lost that game. So, obviously, it's not. I know we're going to talk about Dart, and that's what it seems like it's all about. It's only because that's the last line of hope that could be tangible. But in reality, it's much, much bigger and deeper than just the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the easiest part of the discussion. Hey, when should Dart play? Let's watch the kid. Hey, put him up, come on, put him in, let's go. The deeper, tougher, but more accurate part of the conversation is all the other things. When you lift up the hood of the New York Giants, it has been a decade plus of bad drafts, bad hires, poor player development, not enough either, you know, winning players and all in attitude. If you could do it wrong, they've done it wrong.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
So Brian Daboll is meeting the media right now, and he was asked the question about committing to Russell Wilson. I have to be honest with you. I have no idea what his answer is. Do y'all want to listen to it together?
Of course.
Now, before we play it, what do you think he's going to say?
He said Russ is our quarterback.
He's going to commit to Russell Wilson
as
the
quarterback. That's what
he's going to say. All right. Sean, you want to set this up?
Sure. I believe the question is going to be from Paul Schwartz.
Oh, Paul Schwartz.
Tiki may be surprised by the answer.
Mm. Oh.
After one day, any thoughts on what you're going to do with quarterback moving forward?
Yeah, we just watched the tape here, Paul. We're in the meetings with the players right now. You know, like I said yesterday, you know, in order to improve the passing game, and I'd say that was the number one thing we needed to improve from yesterday. You know, as a collective, everybody's got to be, you know, doing exactly the right stuff. So it's not all on one guy. You know, there's multiple reasons why, you know, certain plays didn't, you know, come out the way we wanted them to come out, and we'll continue to do that.
So Russ remains the starter moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're working through, you know, all the personnel decisions, and we'll do that over the next few days.
Hold on, so you're not saying Russ is the starter, right? You're saying you're still working through that?
Yeah, we're doing what we normally do, which is, you know, watch the tape. We're just watching it with the players right now. So, you know, we'll have staff meetings after this, but when we come in, we watch the tape, offense, defense, kicking game as a staff, and then we go meet with the players. That's where we're at right now.
When you say what you normally do, most Monday afternoons, you know who your quarterback's going to be the upcoming week if everyone's healthy, though. This seems a little different, your responses.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going through the tape right now. We're evaluating everything.
So quarterback change is on the table.
I'd say we're evaluating everything.
Wow.
Wow. He did not commit to Russell Wilson.
No,
tape.
He didn't. And we watched the tape this morning.
What do you think? You've watched the tape. What's your conclusion?
So there's a couple of things. And really, I just wanted to look at Malik Nabers. So I watched the game, and then I watched Malik Nabers' 7 targets. He only caught 2 of those.
Yes.
For 13 yards, as we all know.
Fewest of his career.
One of which was intercepted. There was a play. It was cover 3. So Malik Nabers, the corner is sitting guarding the boundary. The other safety is kind of peeking in, but he's kind of flat-footed. And if Malik Nabers is charging headstrong up to a safety who's standing flat, throw the damn ball. Because he's not going to be able to turn, get up to speed, and catch up to Malik Nabers. Russell holds it and finally throws it late. It has no chance.
Right.
The interception. They're on the 25-yard line, whatever it was, 26-yard line. I can't remember what the yard to gain was. It is, again, cover 3. but it's going to be a man look on Malik Nabers. And I know this from having these conversations with Dave when I was calling games for television. He would tell the quarterback, Daniel, in this case, I'm sure Russell, if you get a man look, just throw it. Give him a chance.
Right.
Throw it to him. And I said this on the post game last night. On that play, there is one guy that can stop Malik Nabers from scoring a touchdown. And he has no chance because Malik Nabers is one-on-one with him.
Right.
When you get to, when he gets to 10 steps, 5 steps, 10 yards, whatever it is, that ball has to go up. Instead, Russell is looking at Wandell Robinson running an over route to the other side of the field with two safeties on top of him. And then he finally goes back to Malik Nabers and throws it late.
That's too late.
Now, maybe he was trying to move the safety, but that safety had no chance to get to Malik Nabers. There was no chance. So there were too many moments of doubt in Russell Wilson's mind. And his, and I think he knew he had to throw it, but he didn't want to. And that indecision cost them a couple of big plays.
Mm.
So that, amongst everything else, tells me that they're not going to have a favorable grade on Russell Wilson.
Well, it tells me, based on you watching the tape and you're explaining it to us, player-splaining it to us, which I appreciate, and between Brian Daboll not committing to an answer on Monday afternoon, we've seen the last of Russell Wilson. I'm just giving you a logical conclusion to what Brian Daboll just said as he got peppered with questions, and a great job by the Giant media by not letting it go. Because right. when he says it's normal, it's not normal. You don't sit there on Monday afternoon.
I'm sure it's normal, but not to evaluate it this long.
Right. Like, you're not sitting there on Monday afternoon saying, ah, we'll see. We're still evaluating the quarterback position.
But this was my take in after week one. The whole, and I will keep coming back to it because I just kind of like that phrase because of your guy, George W.
Yeah.
Bush. Fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, it's shame on me.
Yeah.
And Dave's got fooled with the Daniel Jones stuff. He waited too long to pull the trigger. And we know what happened.
Last night, as I'm watching the game, and I don't think this is a reason to make a quarterback change, but I'm just going to describe what I was thinking. And now putting it together with Brian Daboll just said, you've got Jackson Dart, who is the hope. He's the hope for the Giant fan. Rightfully so. When all things are wrong, you can at least tell yourself, maybe I have a franchise quarterback.
That's right.
Okay? Which I get. Jackson Dart comes on the field. You can feel the electricity from the crowd, even though we all knew they weren't going to do anything.
Well, you know why. You know why they feel the electricity?
Why is that?
Because you don't know.
You don't know, even though you kind of do. He's going to hand the ball off to Cam Scott.
Okay, but even then, it doesn't matter.
Right.
When Russell Wilson's on the field, you kind of know.
Well, you know the answer. Right. I get that. But there was excitement when Jackson was on the field.
Yes.
He comes off the field, and I do not blame Giant fans for doing this, yeah, even if rationally you shouldn't.
Right, but I think it's less about that. I think it's less about the emotional reaction. It's more about what are we going to see. I think Jackson Dart is it. This is why I love and hate young quarterbacks. You guys know I hate rookies.
But yes.
But with quarterbacks in particular, this is why. They don't know enough to know when they're wrong.
Right.
So they're not going to not throw a pass because it's ill-advised.
They're not going to overthink it. They're just going to do it.
They're just going to do it.
Right, right.
And so when you have an elite wide receiver like Malik Nabers, just do it.
Yeah.
Right? You'll learn, or maybe you'll just be hugely successful.
Right.
And Russ is too old and grizzled and seen all the bad stuff that comes from doing those things to actually just do it. But that's what Dave's wants.
Well, let's hear more from Brian Daboll. He's meeting the media now. He is not committed to Russell Wilson being the quarterback. Now, set this clip up, Sean.
Okay, so Brian Daboll was further asked in a press conference that has since wrapped about when he'll know when Jackson Dart is able to start. And this is kind of an interesting answer he gives here.
You've talked a lot about Jackson and having different checkpoints and, you know, that you want him to hit before you put him in and before he's able to, you know, play and start. Has he checked off all the boxes for you? Like, has he reached all those checkpoints that you would feel confident of making that decision if that's the decision you make to go with him?
Well, we put him in the game for the last 2 weeks, so we wouldn't put anybody in the game we don't feel confident with.
Mm. He's going to go to him. Yeah. I would be, You know, if you asked me 2 hours ago, I would have said, nah, Russ will get one more week. And if they get off to a bad start against the Chargers, I can definitely see them making a change, especially in the toxic environment of playing at home. But based on that answer and based on his answers a day after, I think we're going to see Jackson Dart's real debut on Sunday.
No, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. And you can't go back.
Oh, no, once you do it, right. Once you pull that Band-Aid off, that's it. Are you in favor of this?
I am, because I don't think that Russ has it in him right now or ever.
Mm.
I don't think he has it in him. I think he's great for this team because he's so positive and he's a fantastic leader. But I don't think he has the game left in him.
Yeah.
And I know that's hard to say after he threw for 450 yards against the Cowboys, but the better defenses, he's not willing.
I'm telling you, I've seen it way too many times before, and the best example I'm going to give you is Justin Verlander randomly. Mm-hmm. When he was a Met, he goes 8 scoreless. And you're like, oh, it's the old Justin Verlander. But you know 5 days later, he's probably not going to do that again.
No,
you see
right.
Flashes of greatness from formerly great players. See, you spoiled us. You retired before this even happened to you.
No,
but that's what happens to great players at the end.
No,
it's the damn truth.
Yeah, and the reason you can't waffle with this, once a decision is made, it's got to be made. Because the last thing you need or want is a locker room saying, well, we should have stuck with this guy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they bench Russell Wilson if they cut him.
At this point, they probably should.
What about trading him to Cincinnati?
I'm being honest,
though.
Jake Browning was not it.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
We had that discussion 5 days ago. It's a very different discussion now.
Right.
After the way Browning played, B, the way Wilson played, and C, where the Giants are going. Are you in favor of making this move? Because it certainly sounds like Jackson Dart's going to start Sunday.
I have to be. And I'm following the breadcrumbs. I have no choice but to trust the head coach, no matter what you think of him. He's put him in the game, like he just said, multiple weeks. He became the number two quarterback, and he looked good in August. And frankly, for all the worries we have about throwing Jackson Dart to the Wolves versus good defenses and not being ready, man, 2 out of the 3 weeks, Russell Wilson can't crack 10 points and has made some really bad, ill-advised throws.
That's the thing.
So, yeah. So
you look at the anemia that feels to be the case when you get in the red zone. And the decision, that penultimate possession, not the last one, which was at midfield.
I mean, second to last, fellas.
Yes,
I know.
The one in the red zone. It was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
One to the tunnel, one to the goalpost.
And then the QB draw in between. Now, I get the QB draw because they were running to Bo's side. They were running an ET game. So the tackle or the end crashes down on the tackle and the guard pins him. And then the D tackle loops around. They sniffed out the draw.
Right.
So the D tackle just stayed there and nobody was blocking him.
If Jackson Dart gets the start Sunday, and it certainly sounds that way based on Brian Daboll's tone. My question for Tommy isn't, do you support it? Clearly you do. He wears Start Dart on his shirt every day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take the sign off? Since
if Dart starts,
mission,
you got to take it off.
Yeah,
right?
Mission's accomplished.
Start Dart.
Once Jackson Dart is named the starter, the sign that is on my chest will come off.
Will it be replaced by mission accomplished?
No.
That's another ode to President Bush.
Exactly, I was just about to say, I'll come up with something else to wear on the chest.
All right.
Can I just throw this out there, though? Is it possible? I think they're going to Dart. Is it possible they go to Jameis first? Now, hear me out. They're at home. You know Winston, at bare minimum, Teague, will play a more exciting brand of football. So I think the fan base will at least enjoy some of the touchdowns and the roller coaster ride.
No, I don't think so. I think Jameis, and this is, I have no idea. I have no idea at all. This is me speculating. It's not coming from anybody or anything. This is just me. When they signed Jameis Winston, they signed him to be the backup. They signed him for the eventuality if Russell Wilson wasn't the guy. And that could have meant two things. We don't draft a quarterback, so Russell's not the guy. We'll go with Jameis Winston. We do draft a quarterback, and we like this young quarterback, and he checks all the boxes, and he can play, then Russ becomes expendable. I just alluded to what could happen.
Yeah, cutting him, trading him.
And Jameis Winston is our backup.
Yeah.
That's why this quarterback room was constructed the way it was. They were setting a plan for any eventuality.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, it only took 3 games to get to it. But I really could see Russell Wilson not being on this team in the short term.
No, you'd actually be doing him a favor.
100%.
If you're benching him, you're almost saying, you know what, Russ, we appreciate it. We know this wasn't ideal. We're going to cut you so you can join every other former Giant having success elsewhere. We're going to be nice. Here's the thing about Winston, because I heard Al Dukes endorse him earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear Al Dukes endorsing Jameis Winston to be the next quarterback of the New York Football Giants?
I am calling for Jameis Winston. Let's have some fun. Malachi Corley.
And that would be the shirt. Let's have some fun. In August, and it's not August anymore. In August, I believed that Jameis Winston should have been the backup. I believe that you can control going to Dart a lot easier by having him not dress and be the third stringer. Once they made the decision to flip over Winston and make Dart the backup, the Jameis Winston option does not exist. So while I was a supporter of that, and I think I was right, not that we want to get in the weeds on that, I would have made Winston the backup. I think now that Brian Daboll, and you even heard it in that clip, say, obviously he was on the field, we think he's close to being ready. I think you've already skipped over the Jameis Winston option. Yeah. And where I really disagree also is, remember this, when you draft a young quarterback, the guy who's starting and keeping you from that young guy becomes your enemy. Fair or not. If Jameis Winston was named the starter, it would take one drive for Giant fans to be chanting, we want Dart.
You're delaying the inevitable.
You're delaying the inevitable, and you're forcing the blame from anti-Russell Wilson to just immediately become anti-Jameis Winston. That's what would happen. Yeah. It would serve zero purpose in doing it now.
Right.
But we're going to get a quarterback move. I mean, those comments scream it.
There's one more note about this. This is from Charlotte Carroll. When asked if Brian Daboll met with Russell Wilson today, Daboll said they had their usual team meeting and he'll go in the quarterback room soon like he normally does. So he hadn't met individually with the quarterbacks yet, which would speak to why he didn't just announce this.
Right.
Interesting.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.